Marian felt her face might light the forest. Alana rarely spoke of the personal life she'd led before coming to Harcourt, but she'd been apprenticed to a minstrel of a grander estate, and her stories were full of bright clothing and brighter personalities, sparking against one another like flint and steel. "Oh," she managed to say. "With Will, though," Alana said, shortening Willa's name affectionately, "it's something else entirely." "And?" Marian prodded when Alana trailed off. "I could sing you a thousand songs about love, Marian, but until you've been in love, you won't believe me. Willa isn't perfect. I know that even better than you. But she's mine, and I am hers, and the rest of the earth could burn so long as we have that." "You don't worry about what other people will say, though? I'm a minstrel. I make my living off spinning rumors into song. They can say what they want." Brave words, now that she was leaving all those people behind, Marian didn't point out. "But you knew Willa was going to get married eventually. And had it been to a nicer lord, I would have begged Emmeline to let me leave her service and gone with Willa. You make it sound so easy." "Love isn't easy. You just eventually figure out that some things can't be fought. Once I accepted that, I just did what had to be done. If that means leaving my place at court, abandoning my career, and running away to live like an animal in the forest, then that's what I'll do." The lights of the priory flickered through the trees ahead of them on the path, sparing Marian the need to come up with a response. Instead of the usual novice, Tuck met them at the gate and pulled Marian into her ample bosom. "The roads aren't safe," she said, shaking Marian gently. "Especially for you, you silly girl. Sheriff's daughter," she added under her breath as she shook her head. "Is Willa here?" asked Alana. "Yes, which is how I knew to expect you. Does my sister know you're here?" Marian stared at her feet as she shook her head. "I thought as much. Now get inside before somebody sees you, as my church has apparently turned into an inn without anyone telling me. I may as well see that you're comfortable." "We don't want to obtrude on the hospitality of the convent," Marian began, but Tuck waved her into silence. "Willa has already invoked the right of sanctuary. For the next 40 days, I am bound to protect her."
"How can she invoke sanctuary if she hasn't committed a crime?" Marian asked.
"Has she committed a crime?" Alana asked a second later.
"There are those who might hold that disobeying one's father is crime enough. Treason, it's called. The rest you'll have to ask her yourself."
They crossed the moonlit courtyard with its kitchen garden, the smell of herbs strong in the night air, and followed Tuck into the priory public dormitory. It was a small stone room with several pallets arranged around the walls. A woman and child occupied the pallet farthest from them, and a tall youth jumped to his feet when Tuck opened the door. Marian's jaw dropped. Willa stood before them, but she looked so much like her brother that she had to blink several times to convince herself it wasn't William. Willa had given herself a rather brutal haircut, which she'd covered with a cap to hide the worst of, and she wore a pair of clothes that looked like they'd been pilfered from the stable, judging by the stains around the knees. A sword belt hung around her waist, and the pommel gleamed in the low light of the fire. That, Marian was sure, had not been stolen from a stable boy. William Squire, however, might have some explaining to do when one of his lord's blades turned up missing. "Willa?" Marian said.
"Could you really not tell?" Willa asked with a grin.
Alana reached up to touch Willa's shorn hair and shook her head in disbelief.
Who knew hair made such a difference? Although, really, well, what did you use to cut it? Your sword? I was in a hurry. I'll fix it for you later. Now, Tuck said, interrupting their reunion, would one of you be so kind to explain to me what is going on?